At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
This is the Debating Society. I am Gaius, John Batser. Michael Laos is here, Germanicus, and the Centurions are enjoying our stories about making mistakes. They've seen all these mistakes in the field. They're 25-year men or more. They retired happily, successfully. A few marks on their bodies, but they're quite healthy people. And we've promised them a tale of Hollywood in the 21st century. Well, it took me some time to watch all of Gladiator II. I would say about 6 months because I couldn't bear it. I would make it go fast and go back and forget. I would turn the sound off. Well, I didn't quite finish it because when we came to the ultimate scene of Hanno making a speech to the Praetorian army on one side and the worthwhile Roman army on the other side, I couldn't bear it. So I stopped. I'll watch all of it eventually. But I came close. And I thought it would be fun with Germanicus for us to speculate why it is that Hollywood can't get Rome right. Now, Gladiator I had a great star, a movie star. And that was its success. When you see a real movie star, it doesn't matter what costume he's in. You see it. You understand it. And the opening scene in Gladiator I is the movie. Why can't people know when they're beaten? That's the movie. On my order, let loose hell. That's the movie. And the fight in the German forest against the savages. That's the movie. But the rest of it has a romance. Fine. But when it came to number two, they tried the bit about how his son was going to rise up and be just like him. And then they wrecked it. Because the payoff was that all of these bad emperors and their counselors in the Senate, the villains, they were going to be removed and we were going to go back to the Republic. Germanicus, it's so wrong, I don't even know where to start. Empires don't go back to republics. Republics are of no use once you're an empire. And the only thing I can think is that, because that's too much of a lesson for Hollywood scriptwriting, given how tense they are. I mean, this is worked on script months and years, different drafts, different color paper. Because I passed around between bankers and producers and directors and cameramen. I mean, they really work on this. But the payoff is the Republic. I'm thinking, what are they doing? There's no Republic in Rome after Augustus. That's the end of the Republic. It was aged out. The empire was necessary. And the only thing I can think, Germanicus, and I submit this to you, is Hollywood thinks the word Republic means democracy. Is that possible why they make this mistake?
It's a process, a kind of interplay between past and present. That has always been there. Societies that in ancient times had looked back on their forebears tended to want to make it a golden age, that from which they had fallen into some low estate, and that things were constantly in decline. The U.S., in contrast, is a republic of virtue, and the original vision of the American Republic was deeply informed by Rome and yes, Greece, and especially to Greek and Roman ideas that fed into the Republic of Virtue. And in effect, of course, Rome, with the very word res publica, and the Greeks with democracy, gave a kind of form, a kind of proscenium under which the drama of the Republic of Virtue could be enacted. and they knew them. They many of the founders and elites in America were conversant in Greek and more than conversant in Latin. And yet, what they did effectively, even though they'd read these authors, they would also shape the past to fit their own needs and their own vision. And so when they approached Rome, therefore, Rome was a kind of morality play. It was something that, in a sense, inspired America, whose virtues were the foundation for America, and yet whose story was one of triumph and then tragedy, and ultimately of decline and a loss of virtue. And this is one of the reasons that that Gibbon wrote The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire as a vast morality play, right, with the villains being barbarism and religion, and therefore appealing to the ideals of the then, you know, raging Enlightenment that had claimed the collective emotions of Europe, you know, the European upper class at that time. And so he had to paint the Roman Empire in its later days as increasingly wrapped up in debilitating religious rituals, stifling hierarchies and court intrigues, and beset always by the barbary from without, the savages. And so in many ways, Gibbon helped to create our vision today of what we call the Byzantine Empire, which is completely wrong, that did not in any way understand the spirit of Rome or even the vision of Rome fully. Yet he'd read all the sources. He's magnificently sourced work. And yet the spirit of Rome to him had to be filtered through the spirit of his own age. And it had to be packaged as I said, a kind of morality play. And so today, I think, we still do that. And so Rome has to be presented as being, the Imperial Rome is thoroughly corrupted. And when the Republican Rome is presented in whatever poor venue, it's always the loss of virtue of the Republic and these men who were corrupted and et cetera, et cetera. And that's not really what happened, as we know. You know, Rome as a republic transformed into something very different from the original city-state built around a constitution for a city-state where people were connected to each other and was effectively like an empire as early as the 3rd century BC. And so, you know, and on the flip side, after Augustus created the Principate, the imperial institution still maintained the sensibility and consciousness of the Republic, as well as many of its institutions, and was far more responsive to not just elites, but also to the public opinion and the idea of the sovereignty, legitimacy of Rome itself always being based on the Senate and the people of Rome. I mean, so it's always a distortion through the Western lens. And unfortunately, as you pointed out, the Western lens, when it is Hollywood, is a very simplistic one with an inability to distinguish between, say, the Greek vision of democracy, the Roman ideal of the Republic, and then the fact that the empire was not that alien from the Republic it succeeded.
And simply put, the best thinking in Hollywood, which is consistent with the best thinking in media and media is the best thinking we have. The conventional wisdom is that republic is good, empire is bad, and that there's no acceptance, none whatsoever, that empire could ever be anything but bad. Is that where we are?
Yeah, and also republic is good, but democracy is better. So there is this notion that somehow the original republic of virtue was flawed and needs to be constantly refreshed and made more progressive. And so you know, when Democrats, for example, talk about our democracy, they have a vision of a government that is that is a mirror of their progressive ideology, and they can't see that virtue in, say, Republicans who talk about the republic, because they see the republic as a kind of halfway house between old forms of monarchy and the vision they have of our democracy, which is a completely amorphous notion that changes almost daily with shifts in political fashion.
So I should presume that they didn't do this thinking that they were being aspirational. They did this because that's their opinion. It's fixed. It's not in debate. Republic good, empire bad.
Yeah, and they confuse the imperial office of Rome with the dictatorship of a mafia don or some banana republic.
Right. All right. I didn't make the world, neither did you. We're just sitting here in Londinium admiring the Americans and their aspirations. Let's put it that way. They see the world as they want it to be. They don't see the world as it is. We have the advantage of seeing the world as it is. Most of it.
Every society is guilty of that. But we can at least offer useful clarification to the 21st century audience.
We're going to see Seneca tonight. Last week we saw the opening act of a play in which the spurned wife takes revenge on her husband and the new wife and the children, and then eventually the town, the city state, the empire. It's quite a revenge cycle. That was just the first act. I don't know whether we're going to show us the second act this week. It gets chilly in the theater, and the fires aren't warm enough for my senior legs. So we'll stay as long as we can and give you a report. But what's wonderful about Seneca when you watch his plays is you ask yourself always, does he know that Nero's going to murder him? You think to yourself, there must be something to it because he's so consistent about revenge. It's an odd way to anticipate your own death and writing plays in which you get back at him. Nero commits suicide. He's never murdered. So I don't know if that was Seneca's thinking or whether Seneca is going to influence that. I don't know. Nero's suicide, caveat, we're told everything we know about it by his slave, whom he forces to help him commit suicide. So there might be something to the fact that the slave was a little more eager than we think. But Seneca's play has self-destruction in it, and we'll enjoy it tonight. This is the Friends of History Debating Society in Londinium on a chilly evening by the Thames with our friends, the Centurions. Michael Vallejos is Gaius, is Germanicus. John Batchelor is Gaius, and thank you for listening. Good night.
You ain't heard. heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.